यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रवर्जकाचार्य अस्तोत्र सत अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रवर्जकाचार्य अस्तोत्र सत श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन फाउंडराचार्य बीबीटी फाउंडराचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमनंदी हरि। All glories to the seminal devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the seminal devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the seminal devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 10 and today we have text 12. Is it 12 or 11 today? Yeah, I think it was Maharaj did 10 on Saturday. Did he do 11 also? Okay, so can we have text 11 on the board, please? Oh, sorry. Kunov, what's going on? Okay. Maitreya Vacha Guna Vyati Karakaro Nirvishesho Pratishthita Purushastad Upadanam आत्मानं लीलाश्रयत् मैत्रेया उवाच गुणावैतिकराकारो निर्विशेषो प्रतिष्ठितः पुरुषस्तदुपादानं आत्मानं लीलाश्रयत्। मैत्रेया उवाच, गुणा व्यतिकराकारो निर्विशेषो प्रतिष्ठिताः पुरुषस्तद् उपादानम् आत्मानं लीलाय सृजयत्। मैत्रेया उवाच, गुणव्यतिकराकारो निर्विशेषो प्रतिष्ठिता पुरुषस्तदुपादानम् आत्मानं लीलया सृजयत्। मैत्रेय उवाच, गुणव्यतिकराकारो निर्विशेष प्रतिष्ठितः आत्मानं लीलया। माताजी प्लीज। मैत्रेया उवाच, गुणव्यतिकराकारो निर्विशेष निर्विशेषो पुरुषस्तदुपादानम् आत्मानं लीलया सृजत्। मैत्रेया उवाच, गुणव्यतिकराकारो निर्विशेषो प्रतिष्ठितः पुरुषस्तदुपादानम् आत्मानं लीलया सृजत्। Synonyms: Maitreya Vacha. Maitreya said, Guna Vyatikara, of the interactions of the modes of material nature, Akara, source, Nirvishesha, without diversity, apratishthitaha, unlimited, purusha, of the Supreme Person, tat, that, upadanam, instrument, atmanam, the material creation, Lilaya, by pastimes, asrijat, created. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charan Arvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Maitreya said, Eternal time is the primeval source of the interactions of the three modes of material nature. It is unchangeable and limitless, and it works as the instrument of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his pastimes in the material creation. Purport. The impersonal time factor is the background of the material manifestation as the instrument of the Supreme Lord. It is the ingredient of assistance offered to material nature. No one knows where time began and where it ends, and it is time only which can keep a record of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material manifestation. This time factor is the material cause of creation and is therefore a self-expansion of the personality of Godhead. Time is considered the impersonal feature of the Lord. The time factor is also explained by modern man in various ways. Some accept it almost as it is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, in Hebrew literature, time is accepted in the same spirit as a representation of God. It is stated therein, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Does anyone know Hebrew here? Jai Maharaj. Metaphysically, time is distinguished as absolute and real. Absolute time is continuous and is unaffected by the speed or slowness of material things. Time is astronomically and mathematically calculated in relation to the speed, change, and life of a particular object. Factually, however, time has nothing to do with the relativities of things. Rather, everything is shaped and calculated in terms of the facility offered by time. Time is the basic measurement of the activity of our senses by which we calculate past, present, and future. But in factual calculation, time has no beginning and no end. Pandit Chanakya says that even a slight fraction of time cannot be purchased with millions of dollars. And therefore, even a moment of time lost without profit must be calculated as the greatest loss in life. Time is not subject to any form of psychology, nor are the moments objective realities in themselves, but they are dependent on particular experiences. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami concludes that the time factor is intermixed with the activities, actions and reactions of the external energy of the Lord. The external energy or material nature works under the superintendence of the time factor as the Lord Himself. And that is why material nature appears to have produced so many wonderful things in the cosmic manifestation. Bhagavad Gita 9:10 confirms this conclusion as follows. मया दक्षेण प्रकृति सुयते स चराचरम हेतु नानेन कौन्तेय जगत विपरिवर्तते। ओम ज्ञानातिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुर्वे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम्। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा। आई सीक ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल माय सुपीरियर्स हियर। So, we heard a wonderful explanation of time by Bhakti Vigyan Swami Maharaj. And this is continuation of that. Maitreya Muni, he's describing the features of time and how the creation takes place. And in this verse specifically, it's mentioned that primeval source of the interactions of the three modes of material nature is eternal time. So the words here are guna vyatikara karo, the interactions of the modes of material nature. Akara is the source. So it's the eternal time that is the source of these interactions. So I guess we can remember reading a few chapters before in the same canto, in chapter 5, Maitreya Muni, he mentions some similar points about eternal time and how these interactions are actually influenced by the time. Thank you. Thank you. So here I'll read a couple of these verses and then we can discuss some points in this purport. The Lord, the undisputed proprietor of everything, was the only seer. So this is chapter 5 and Maitreya Muni is describing to Vidura how the creation starts. And he's describing about the how the all the elements, the material energy is in a dormant state. And by the glance of the Lord, it becomes agitated or active to participate in creation, influenced by the time. So I'll just read these couple of verses here. The Lord, the undisputed proprietor of everything, was the only seer. The cosmic manifestation was not present at that time. The material energy was dormant, whereas the internal potency was manifested. The Lord is the seer, and the external energy which is seen works as both cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation. O greatly fortunate Vidura, this external energy is known as Maya or illusion, and through her agency only is the entire material manifestation made possible. The Supreme Living Being in His future as the Transcendental Purusha Incarnation, who is the Lord's plenary expansion, impregnates the material energy of three modes, and thus, by the influence of eternal time, the living entities appear. Actual words here are Kala vritya tu mayayam gunamayam adhokshaja purushenatma bhutena viryam adata viryavan. So it's explained just like the mother and father, they produce living offsprings, children. So same way, material energy on its own, it cannot produce living entities. And the Supreme Lord, by His glance, He starts the process of creation. And it's all influenced by eternal time. So here in this verse, we are hearing, in this chapter, we will be hearing more details on this aspect of creation and influence of time. It's interesting how in Srimad Bhagavatam there is so much detailed information on time. But if we can remember in Bhagavad Gita, time, although it is one of the five subjects that are described in Bhagavad Gita, but there is not many verses spoken about time. There is only probably two verses in Bhagavad Gita which talk about time. Can anyone remember some of those verses? Yes. This verse, one time I met this one young boy who was curious about Bhagavad Gita. He was interested to get a copy of Bhagavad Gita, and I asked him, how do you know about it? And he said, I heard this one scientist quote Bhagavad Gita. And this is the verse he was quoting, Kalo Asmi. So this is a verse 32 in the 11th chapter, where Krishna is saying, Kala, I am Kala, I am the time, the destroyer of all living entities. So here we are hearing about creation. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, He is time, the destroyer. Of course, we heard from Maharaj how living entities in material cosmos, they do meet time in the form of death. And not surprising, there are so many wars that happen leading to death. So it's we can understand more about these features and aspects of time reading Srimad Bhagavatam. There's another shloka that is one of the favorite shlokas of our Sura Prabhu. And it says there, who can understand these features and influence of time? So there Sukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj what kind of people, what's the influence of time, and what kind of people can understand these features and influence of time. It's in actually Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 4. Deha patya kalatradishu atma seneshu asatsva api tesham pramato nidanam pashyanapi na pashyati. So nidanam means destruction. We all see there's a lot of destruction going on, but still somehow the individual living being thinks that it's not going to happen to him. So when Srila Prabhupada was in his last years and his health was not at its best, but still he was translating Srimad Bhagavatam, and many times he would get up, even when he's not in a position to get up, he would make time to see some people who would come to meet him. And his disciples would be amazed by seeing him in a way, we can say, transcend those limitations. So in this verse, Sukhdev Goswami is describing to Parikshit Maharaj that people who do not have a higher spiritual understanding, those kind of people, they do not see this, or they do not understand this destructive aspect of time. They think they will continue as they are going, enjoying their lives in a way they have planned. But due to this illusory energy, this understanding does not awaken within them that time is also taking their life. And in the purport, in one of the purports in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada describes how the time, every moment one is losing, one is dying, but the actual stroke is called death, and that is Krishna. So in the next verse to this, Sukhdev Goswami describes to him, to Parikshit Maharaj, that a person who is constantly engaged in hearing and glorifying the activities of the Lord, such a person, he can understand these features and activities of this eternal time. And not only that, they can actually transcend these limitations that are imposed by time on people who are absorbed in materialistic activities. So here is interesting, Srila Prabhupada, he mentions Hebrew language. And but the point he's mentioning is that many modern men, they accept this idea of time as a representation of God. But the question is, like, they do understand that, but do they actually understand the influence of time and how it operates and how time brings destruction? That's the point Sukadev Goswami is making, that devotees or people acting in Krishna consciousness, they can understand this influence and they can become free from the limiting aspect of time. Just like we see when Srila Prabhupada came to America, for first year he had to go through so many difficulties, challenges, and there was not much happening, and many times he would get so, you can say, spiritually disheartened that he would keep going back to this office of the shipping company that he came to America with, and he would ask them, when is their next ship going back? And one time, this person in the office asked that, Swamiji, you come here often and you ask every time, when is the next ship going back? But you never go. And then Srila Prabhupada, he said that I cannot go because the order I've been given is to come here. So I've come here as hearing some talks about Gita Jayanti, and I heard this another explanation when even reporters would ask Srila Prabhupada, you know, why have you come here? And he would say, I've come here following the order of my guru. This used to be his response. So, for 1 year he really struggled, and then the time changed. And by Krishna's arrangement, he would say, like, Krishna sent so many nice disciples. He would say, so many nice American boys and girls. And they started to take Krishna consciousness. So, I heard this point, just like Krishna creates this world, and then he gives the Vedas, all the spiritual literatures. He spoke Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is there. So similar way, Srila Prabhupada, he created this ISKCON, and then he gave these books. He translated these books. So the ISKCON is there, and then the books are there to actually understand how things work, how to do all these activities and continue in any kind of situation. There may be so many limitations, so many challenges. So it was interesting to hear how Krishna creates this world, and then he gives all this wisdom to how to live in this world in a happy way. In Bhagavad Gita, he actually says, by performance of yajna, all the demigods would be pleased, and they would supply all the necessities of life. So we can see by this great work of Srila Prabhupada of translating these books, we have this facility now to study this and understand these difficult subjects, which apparently not even many learned philosophers, scientists, we can say materially educated people can understand. But a simple devotee, they can just come and sit in a discussion and they can understand these subjects. And not only that, they can go and even share these subjects with learned people like this. So I met this one professor at USC, and he's teaching psychology and sociology. And it was interesting. He actually, when he saw me there, he asked about the Bhagavad Gita, and I asked him, how do you know about Bhagavad Gita? And so he told me that I'm teaching sociology and psychology, so I have heard a lot. I haven't read the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, he said he has read the Bhagavad Gita. So I was telling him about Srimad Bhagavatam, and he actually took a whole set, I helped him take it to his office. I was like, you can keep it for your department, your teacher here. And he even actually... Yes, Maharaj. So he even came here. He went to the museum, had prasadam at Govinda's. He really loved it. And then Archita Prabhu was there. I introduced him to him. And so they had a nice discussion. He actually invited him to speak there sometime. And hopefully he would make that arrangement. But it was interesting that, you know, we see when we go out, actually, I do not know many technical aspects on the effects and of time, but whatever I know I can share. When we go out, we see people influenced by all these different modes, interaction of modes. So even a beginner, they can notice it. Like some people, they are more open to receiving this kind of wisdom, this kind of knowledge, because they have done some work on themselves. They have become aware of different realities. And then there are others, they are not at all interested. You know, they may not even listen to you. And then there are others who may see you, who may even say something to you, which may not be very inspiring. You know, sometimes they may say, you know, why don't you go and get a job? I was like, this is the job. You don't know this is the job. This is full-time job. So, because they are seeing in a different way. They are influenced by different modes. So, even in the Bhagavad Gita, actually, Krishna explains there are different kinds of faith people have. And influenced by the nature, particular nature, they are attracted to certain kind of worship. Some people are influenced by mode of ignorance, so they worship like ghosts and living entities like that. Some people are influenced by passion, some people are influenced by goodness. So we can see there are people who are also looking for this wisdom. And especially in this month, we recently celebrated Bhagavad Gita Jayanti, and yesterday we celebrated disappearance of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And actually it was on his order Srila Prabhupada came here to share this message of Srimad Bhagavatam, as he would say. Because before leaving for America, he said, people already know about Bhagavad Gita, but they don't know about Srimad Bhagavatam. So he came with Srimad Bhagavatam. And we can understand that why is there this need of Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, in the introduction, probably it's in the preface, says, because people do not understand the spiritual techniques and values, and because of imbalance of these values, there is so much chaos in the society. So there is so much disturbance. So there is a great need for sharing this message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he was ready with the first canto, that's when he decided, okay, it's time to go. And rest of them, we know he translated as he was going on with his sharing his message with people here and around the world. So, yeah, there is a lot of points in this verse, but we can definitely take this point that by continuously hearing and glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand all these features, and we can actually transcend the influence of time. There's just one more point. In the time, there is a... This is how we see time in material world by the effect of creation and destruction, but there is time. Why it's said eternal time? Because time exists in spiritual world also, but it's more like a prop to different pastimes of Krishna. Like there is a pastime of killing some demon, or there is a pastime of, say, like swing festival. So time over there, it exists, but it's more like a prop. But in material world, the living entities, they actually, most of them, they see time as in the form of death. But the devotees taking to bhakti yoga, they actually transcend. We know example of Dhruva Maharaj. I believe it was Dhruva who actually, it said, when the Vaikuntha plane came to take him, he actually went in the same body. He didn't even have to, generally you have to change the body. You get spiritual body to go. But Dhruva Maharaj, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam that he went in the same body. And not only that, he actually made them wait. He said, wait, I haven't finished my practice for the day. So the Vaikuntha, the devotees on the plane, they actually had to wait for Dhruva to finish his practice, and that's when he boarded. But it's mentioned when he boarded the Vaikuntha plane, he actually stepped on the death personified. He stepped on the head of death, and that's how he got on the Vaikuntha plane. So Srila Prabhupada also, he showed the same quality. I remember watching this video of his last pastime, and he was still translating Srimad Bhagavatam, and I was like really amazed by that. I was like, usually people you see in the hospitals, or you may have seen people dying, they are very scared. They are very scared. I was like, this person is really not scared at all. And it kind of speaks of his name, Abhay Charanaravind. So it was very amazing to see how there are people who can transcend the influence of time in the form of death, but one has to be completely absorbed like these personalities like Sukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. So we may not be there, but we can take a lot of inspiration from them, especially following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada by engaging in this yajna, in sharing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam with others, and of course also studying them ourselves. And we can also experience these powers of these processes of bhakti. So thank you very much for your kind attention. Maybe some of you want to share some reflection or experience. Yes, I have 3-4 hands up. Ananda Kirtan.
And this is a question. This is a question. So, in many places, Krishna says that he is death. So, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 19, I am also death personified. Then we have Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 34, I am all devouring death. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, death is Krishna. Then we have in the fourth canto, chapter 11, text 19, Krishna says, I am death, I take away everything at the end of life. And there's more. There's actually a lot more where Krishna is saying something similar, that he is death. So if Krishna is death, do people make spiritual advancement by dying?
So he's asking, if Krishna is death, do people make spiritual advancement by dying? Yes, they do. But, like I gave so many examples, one can also make spiritual advancement by transcending death. But if you remember the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna told Arjuna that all these people who have assembled here, except of you 5 Pandavas, everyone is gonna die. But he also told, we remember that when he was encouraging Arjuna to fight this battle, he said that if you win, you don't have to worry. If you win, you go to heavenly planets. And if you lose, if you die, you go to heavenly planets. And if you win, you have a great kingdom to rule. So yes, they do make progress, especially when they are fighting a battle. Then it's mentioned that person can go to heavenly planets. So there is some progress, but there is so much more progress to be made. And that's why Krishna gave Arjuna the process of bhakti yoga. So you can make the full progress and not just make a little bit of progress. And we also know, it's mentioned every person, so it also depends what kind of battle you are fighting. Now there, people could see Krishna, so it's mentioned everyone who fought this battle, they got to see beautiful form of Krishna leading Arjuna in this battle. So they all got liberated. So we have to see if we are fighting in the battle where Krishna is present. That's also there. There are different aspects, but in general it's mentioned, even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that if you fight a battle, then you can go to heavenly planets if you die. But we know, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, heavenly planets is still in the material cosmos. So there are, beyond that, there is the Viraja River, which is limiting people to go to spiritual planets. And beyond Viraja River are the Vaikuntha planets. And within Vaikuntha planets, there are, you know, different higher realms. Like there is Ayodhya, the abode of Lord Ram. And then there is Mathura Mandal. Within Mathura Mandal, then there is Golok Vrindavan. So like that, there are, people can still progress to higher and higher states. Bhrigupati Prabhu wanted to add something.
So thank you for a nice class and congratulations on that nice preaching you did to that professor. That's inspiring to hear that. Not that he just took a set, but he came here and he, you know, participated in all the activities, met Archit, and he's going to invite him to speak out at the university. That's wonderful. Just in response to Ananda's question, that is the verses he was referring to appear, the item of death appears as one item in verses that where Krishna is describing how he's present in the material energy. So, in other words, he also says, I'm the original fragrance of the earth, I'm the light of the sun and the moon,
yeah.
I'm the ability in man. So it's not like if somebody goes out and takes a deep breath and smells something, they're getting purified. But if they're remembering Krishna, if they remember, oh, this is Krishna, he's the original fragrance of the earth. So I think as far as death goes, it's not being referred to as a purifying process like chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But if you remember, just like if you remember Krishna's the original fragrance of the earth, if you remember, well, this is death now, this is Krishna. So to the degree that you're conscious of its connection with Krishna, to that degree, yeah, you're making advancement by dying or remembering death. That would be my understanding of how that would work.
Yeah.
For what it's worth.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a nice insight too. Sachitanoi Prabhu, he wants.
Thank you, Prabhu. There's one verse in the Bhagavad Gita that says, Vedahan samatitani vartamane nicharjuna bhavishyani chabutani mam tu veda nakaschana.
Yes.
So in that verse Krishna says, I know past, I know present, and I know the future. He said, I know everything.
Yes.
But no one knows me. Now, another verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I think is the fourth chapter, where he said, what it says, past, present, future, is just an illusion. It's illusory. That's the conclusion of the Vedic literatures. That's what the verse says, the translation. So putting these two verses together, what would you explain of that?
Can you repeat it again? Like, what's the question?
Putting, you know, the combination of these two verses.
So he's saying that at one place in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that he knows past, present and future, and no one can know him. And then the second part in the Vedas, it said that, what was it?
It's just an illusory. It's an illusion.
So past, present and future, past, present and future is just an illusion. So how would you reconcile? Well, there is many contradictory statements in the Vedas, Puranas, Upanishads. That's why we have to, it's important to find a self-realized spiritual master, because these truths, they are actually explained, they are realized by these kind of spiritual masters, and they are the ones who can reconcile these things. But we can, just on this point, since we are speaking about time and past, present and future, so like I explained in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains this concept of relative time and absolute time. So in material cosmos, we relate, we understand time to our, you know, taking birth, growing up, and then getting old and dying. Pretty much like going through the cycle. But absolute time is always there. Because for us, time finish when we are dead. There is no time for us, right? But time is always existing. That's why it says it's eternal time. And eternal time is recording all these activities of, you know, creation, maintenance, and destruction. That's the evidence. So that's how we understand. We have to understand both. We cannot understand just like the material version. We have to understand the spiritual version. And that's when we will be able to reconcile them. Otherwise, it's just like modern scientists, how they calculate time or any other subject that are discussed here. And then we will be confused. But, I mean, how many of us could understand topics like this before we came in contact with Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam? How many of us could actually understand this verse? I heard this one time in a talk by my Guru Maharaj, and about this verse, Pashyan Api Na Pashyati. It's such an amazing verse that we think we are seeing, but we are not seeing. And there is this wonderful conversation of Yudhishthir Maharaj in Mahabharata with Yaksha. Yaksha asked him, I don't know the exact question, but Yudhishthir's response was this, that, yeah, what is the most amazing thing in the world? And he said, most amazing thing is this, that we see people dying, but still, somehow or other, I think it's not going to happen to me. I think I can just carry on however I am. So, thank you. It reminded me this point of urgency. Srila Prabhupada, he always mentioned this. We have to see this as a urgency to become Krishna conscious. If we don't see it like this, then we will waste time. And like how he was quoting Chanakya Pandit, Avartha Kalatvam, a devotee does not want to waste even a moment. But when we are not seeing this as an urgent thing, then we think, oh, it's okay, I have time, I can chant later in the day, you know, let me go and do this or do that or do so many things. A more extended version of this, like many people in India, they would say, spirituality, this bhakti, Krishna, is not for you now, you are so young. You know, you have so many things to do. You should do this when you get old. But what happens when you get old? When you get old, your body doesn't cooperate. Here we have, we are fortunate to have our superiors who are still in good health. But outside, I've seen people, they are like not in good health when they are that old. But this one point I was hearing in a talk by my Guru Maharaj, who was saying, you will be very grateful to your own self if you practice Krishna consciousness when you are young. Because when you get old, it will be so easy to practice it. It will be natural. But if you don't practice when you are young, when you get old, it'll be so difficult. He was actually sharing an example of one old lady. She got some of the books from some devotees, and she came to his talk, and she told him that, you know, like, how can I study these books? It is so difficult. I cannot focus when I'm like my body hurts. And like, I actually fall asleep when I'm studying these books. So how can I study these books? So old age brings lots of difficulties. So better take advantage while we have some youthful energy. Because then it will become natural. Like, I'm sure maybe some of the devotees, even you have been doing it for so many years, over 30 years probably. So you can You can share us your experience, like how easy it is for you to practice now. Maharaj. Okay, I think we should end with this.
It's very interesting how we are, especially when you get older, how you are tempted to believe that you will live very long. Example, myself. Okay, I'm 90 years old, okay, but I still function like 35 years old. So people come to me and they say, you're going to live to 120, you're 115. This is an illusion. What makes you think I won't die in 5 minutes? Right now, as I speak, somebody is dying. So stop being in this illusion. Stop thinking you're going to live to 120, 110, or 105. Think you're already dead, and therefore don't waste the time of life that you have, or we have. And if you do that, you will not even live to 60. That's what happened. We're in illusion, and especially me. I have to really be careful. It comes all the time. You're 90? Oh, come on. You know, I get this. Let me see your birth certificate. I have to walk around with a driver's license. They don't believe me. So, anyway, the important point is not the number. The important point is Krishna has given you vitality. He's given you vigor. He's given you inspiration. He's given you books which tell you that you can die at any moment. So don't take advantage. That was a phrase Prabhupada used all the time. Don't take advantage. Don't take advantage. What did he mean by that? Don't think that you have so many years to go, so why worry about it? Why worry about it? Do you like misery? You like difficulty? You like troubles? You like trials? You like tribulations? You like all these problems? No, you don't. And if you don't, then start getting real. Real means Krishna is real. Krishna is forever. And if I become one with him in the sense of loving him, I will be forever also. Consciously, not merely as a fact.
Sure. Thank you, Maharaj. Just this one point that came hearing Maharaj is we can remember how Parikshit Maharaj, he had only 1 week's time. So like that, we can think, you know, like everyone has a limited time relatively, but eternally there is, like, once we transcend, it doesn't affect us. So thank you.
Thank you.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Good, brother.